life continues on for me, and as I said, you get past college where it's not just about making money, and then you get into like jobs that are good for you, you think. So this story doesn't really fall under no amount of money in the world, but no amount of fame in the world, because I admit that's my Achilles. The idea of like, what? Fame? Hmm? Huh? And that my definitely worst job ever, I will admit to right now, was I directed a show called the O.J. Whodunit Murder Mystery Dinner Theater. Yes. And the thing is, sometimes there are jobs you think are going to be good that turn out bad. I knew this was a bad job from minute one. I knew it was a bad job when this guy called me, asked me if I wanted to possibly direct a show. This was in New York. And he introduced himself as a best-selling author, which sounded pretty exciting. Until I found out that his bestseller was something called New York City Star Walks. Which is basically a New York City bus map with stars all over it that show you where celebrities live, so you can go and stalk them and their families. Right on the counter of every Shakespeare and Company. So there he goes, but fine. I met with this man, Larry Wolf Horwitz, and I'm just like, ooh, this just sounds like a bad idea. This is not a good job. I had a hard time saying no because, well, he asked me. And I have a real hard time saying no to anybody who asked me to do something because I feel flattered by the fact that they thought enough of me to ask me. So I feel obligated to do something nice in return, like say yes. Okay. Larry talked a good game. And maybe he saw it in my eyes, but he put that out right away. There was a chance that if everything went well, this could blow up. He had just come out with another best-selling book, the O.J. Whodunit book, and this was right at the time where everything was coming out. And so in his bestseller, broke down all the possible scenarios. You know, was it O.J.? Was it a botched drug deal? Was it a surprise burglar? And you have to remember, at the time, these other scenarios had some remote possibility behind them. So you would go through the book, and using the enclosed scorecard, you would sift through the clues and solve the mystery yourself. A sure sign of quality literature is a scorecard. I'm not sure, but I think Finnegan's Wake comes with one. So his pitch to me was, if we could be the first to put up a show spoofing the O.J. trial, well, good things could happen because, say what you want about this terrible O.J. book, it was getting mentioned on CNN, and Entertainment Tonight, and all the shows. Oh my God, that's when he mentioned Entertainment Tonight, my eyes just lit up. Because, little confession, it has long been a dream of mine to be an E.T. celebrity birthday. What I wouldn't give to see that little bear come dancing around my headshot on my birthday. Oh my God. So, okay. I said yes. I knew it was a bad job, but so maybe, you never know. I mean, hey, you know, no one talks about Michelle Pfeiffer, Grease 2. It got her there, you know. Jennifer Aniston, Leprechaun, got her there. So somehow I agree at least to sit in on the casting session, which was an open call in backstage, which if you've ever been to one, oh, my God. I can tell you that people showed up to audition for the part of O.J., who look less like O.J. than I do. I am so not kidding. And just thousands and thousands of people to be involved in just a terrible idea. We sifted through, and we found a pretty decent collection of lookalikes. Our O.J. really looked a lot like O.J. Simpson. And, in fact, he'd been on Saturday Night Live playing O.J. So I'm thinking, like, hey, Lorne Michaels, now me. I'm in good company. Only catch was, in the sketch on Saturday Night Live, O.J. didn't speak, because when he did, any sense of impersonation was immediately lost. Because he was like, hi, how are you? I'm O.J. Simpson. Like, oh, no. So my thing to him was like, you know what? Don't talk that much and just kind of do the Heisman pose a lot, which I thought was good because it immediately put distance between him and the public. We had another guy who was his understudy, who was probably much better at O.J., but I found out too late in the process. So I just let him be Marcus Allen. Yeah. It's giving you some idea of the integrity of the show. And we did. We found lookalikes for everybody involved. Cato Kaelin, who looked much more like Dana Carvey, but we'll get to that later. And everybody, Marsha Clark in that, Marsha Clark and Johnny Cochran, and that Marsha Clark had bags in her eyes and had a curly wig. And when Marsha Clark changed her hair halfway through the trial, got the straight haircut, this actress was so panicked that I was going to replace her that she immediately went out and bought an obvious, really expensive, nice straight wig. She said, no, no, look, and halfway through the show, we can change hairstyles. Look, old Marsha, new Marsha. Just letting you know, one of the best bits in the show. Johnny Cochran was a tall, skinny black man who was an exotic dancer. Another talent we would use in the show. Our Judge Ito wasn't even Asian. But it was this white guy, but he was smart enough to grow the Ito beard. And I just couldn't trust that Toshi could grow a beard in time because we had to get the show up in like 2 weeks. So we even had lookalikes for Nicole Brown, Ron Goldman, and Denise Brown. Yeah, great. So one had broken down crying on the witness stand, the other two were dead. So all of a sudden, I'm doing like a Greek tragedy, not dinner theater. It was fine, but fine. We got all these people together, and great. So we can do something. Excellent. So we got our cast. If we could just get a script there, Mr. Best-Selling Author. And he just kept putting up lots of, yeah, okay, script, sure. I'm going to get you that script. I'm just a little busy lining up some other things. Okay. So I'm working with my cast. You know, I'm doing as many, like, well, all I know is I didn't kill her improvs as I can do. He's off, working on the script. And he comes in one day, and he's like, I got really good news. I'm like, excellent. He's like, next week, we have a press junket with, AP, UPI, CNN, da-da-da, and Entertainment Tonight. You know, bing, oh my God, he said the magic word. I'm like, yeah, yeah. There is no show. There is no show yet. We just have people who kind of look like. So I just took initiative and be like, okay, fine. This guy's clearly not coming up with a script. I will write something. Literally just went home that night and was like, I just put like pieces of paper in the toilet and crapped out the script. OJ! Who done it? Murder mystery theater. Yeah. There it was. Now you may be wondering about the murder mystery dinner theater. Let me explain. So instead of writing a script, Larry was off seeing other shows for inspirations, and he had seen Tony and Tina's Wedding, and he thought it'd be really good if we tried a similar thing. Yeah, brutal double homicide, cute Italian wedding, basically the same idea. So that's what he wanted to do. The scenario would be that suspects would go table to table while you were eating your dinner and answer questions as to whether they did or did not commit this murder. And then they would appoint a jury and a foreman and then vote at the end and justice would be served. Great idea. So very quickly, the first half of the show, I wrote this like bad OJ celebrity roast. And all you know is someone at this celebrity roast is the murderer. Watch and see if you can tell who did it. And it's just like a string of like, well, I don't want to say OJ is cheap jokes, but just terrible, just awful. With people running around, like kind of going like, well, excuse me, and Ito kind of runs off and comes back and says, I'm Robert Goulet. And then second half, it's modern day. Judge Ito is called a court in session. We will solve this trial before you leave tonight. It's up to you. And then literally just people asking, hey, OJ, yeah, come here. Yeah, so what the fuck? You like beat your wife or what? Yeah. Can we get some more butter for these rolls, too? So they vote, and big surprise, OJ was guilty every night. And the big payoff was, if you remember, Cato the dog, which is like that husky dog or a keto kind of thing, he was the only person who really knew who did it. So we would have this thing where like, whoever won, OJ, would be like, okay, we'd like you to go back and talk to Cato the dog, if you would. And then there'd just be sound, rah, 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 and we'd throw out like bloody body parts, which would like land on the table right on top of their check for $4 to $5 plus dinner and tip. And like, oh, yeah, that's really satisfying. So whatever. Terrible, terrible, terrible. But we had a show. There was something to talk about. And who cares? But we're going to get on CNN, blah, 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 and Entertainment Tonight. And I'm that night before the press junket, I'm like rehearsing. I'm like, I don't feel like we're really making fun of the brutal murder of two people. I think we're just taking a good look at how this has really caught the attention of the American public. My birthday, December 28th. So that Wednesday morning, that was our press junket. We're just like standing there waiting, and nobody's showing up. Because that morning at 10:12 in the morning in Oklahoma City was the worst incident of domestic terror, and actually at the time the worst terrorist act on American soil. So of course every camera crew and reporter immediately flocked there. So all these sad O.J. and Marcia Clark and Johnny Cochran lookalikes are just standing there like this, and there was a guy from the Gannett News Service and a German film crew who was making a documentary about America's exploitation of the O.J. trial. Literally come up to me going, how can you live with yourself making fun of the brutal killing of two innocent people? I can't. I quit. That was my worst.